Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
And welcome to The Flame Show for the 1st of January 2012. Happy New Year to everyone. You might have a nice and sore head, but let's talk track and field first up on a Sunday morning. And it gives us a great opportunity to look back at what an amazing year it was in track and field, both here in Australia and around the world in 2011. And then get the crystal ball out and start to look forward to what's going to be an exciting year. Highlighted, of course, by the London Olympic Games in 2012. Right here on 1116 SEN, of course, we will bring you all the action from around the Australian track and field season as we build up to London 2012. And a man who will be certainly at the forefront of our endeavours through Athletics Australia is Eric Hollingsworth, High Performance Manager, who's been kind enough to join me in the studio to look back on last year and look forward to this year, 2012. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Richo. Same to you, mate.
Good to see you. And 2011, an extraordinary year for athletics, where we've got not only a world champion in Sally Pearson, but she ran, I think, the fourth fastest time ever, and she was crowned IAAF Athlete of the Year, female athlete. What a great honour for Australia.
Absolutely. First time, actually. We've had some great champions over the years. Obviously, people like Cathy Freeman were unable to win that honour, so it just shows you how great Sally performed in 2011, and that hopefully she can repeat that feat again in the Olympics. But a fantastic honour for Australia, and a credit to the system that we're building, that we can get someone to get to the very top and be recognised by the rest of the world in track and field.
Because we are a minnow nation, and our listeners can tell by your accent you weren't originally from here. So you've grown up in a heritage where track and field is a legitimate mainstream sport in the UK compared to here, where it had a strong heritage back in the 50s and 60s. It's a little different now.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in what was technically the halcyon days of British athletics, with Daley Thompson, Steve Ovett, Cram, Sebastian Coe, and all Linford Christie, and all the great athletes from that era. And certainly in the summer months, it's track and field and cricket. And of course, if your personality is like mine, cricket would have been on the back burner, a bit too slow for me. So track and field was the go. And certainly we spent most of the time watching all the great European track meets when we were growing up. Essentially, the modern day circuit that you see there was when I was a young kid watching it on TV. So certainly in Australia now, we're building the sport and creating some of our own history with our athletes, and the generation that we got now is certainly doing that with the Hookers, the Samuels and the Pearsons and Mitchell Watt. Fabrice is a world indoor champion, and we've put the sport on TV this year as well. We'll be on Channel 9 for our four main feature events, so that's fantastic. So maybe some of those young kids out there can take a look at those great champions and be inspired to continue on into the sport.
Yeah, and it's all about showing role models for the young kids out there who are waking up on January the 1st, 2012, and looking forward to a big year. They want to be inspired. And I tell you, it's hard not to be inspired by Sally Pearson, because not only is she very gifted physically, but she's got this certain intangible quality of a little bit of the old-fashioned Aussie G&T. She is very keen to get the job done.
Oh, no question. The excellence she displays is something that is noted for all the athletes around the world. I mean, in a warm-up track, all the athletes are always... There's always great champions at the warm-up track at a World Championships, but there are certain athletes that everybody else likes to watch just to see what they're doing. Usain Bolt, and Sally's one of those. When she starts getting the hurdles out, everyone starts to crowd around a little bit, check what she's doing. How does this girl produce a 12:38? 12:28, how does she do it? What is she doing differently? And so coaches are watching, great athletes are watching a sprint warm-up, and it's great for Australia to have that kind of star on the stage.
And this just didn't happen overnight. She's a perfect example of the system you put in place. She's been in the system a long time through representing Australia World Youth, World Juniors. You know, she arguably might have been even selected early, but you know, get a little taste of international competition. And this has been a long-term plan, and now we've got a reigning world champion and favourite for the Olympics.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're doing at Athletics Australia is making sure that we start to create this systemic approach to producing high performers. We don't want Sally to be a one-off. We want to continually produce athletes of this quality. And she was bloodied in as far back, in fact, when I was a team coach in the Commonwealth Youth Games in Bendigo, of all places, where I was a throws head coach and Sally was in that team. And it's remarkable that some of the athletes who were actually in that Commonwealth youth team, Danny Samuels was another one, right. Tristan Thomas was another one that was on that team, and a few others that, you know, are now internationals trying to get to the level that Sally's done. So the system works that early, and we progress those athletes through the youth, the world juniors, through to their first Commonwealth Games and into those major championships of the world champs and the Olympic Games. And it's certainly a pathway that we're proud of, and the work that all the staff are doing.
We're going to talk to Scotty Gullen from the Herald Sun, who's been a track and field rider right here in Melbourne for about a decade now, and he's a great supporter of the sport. We'll find his great moments throughout 2011. But we've spoken about Sally Pearson. It was an extraordinary night in Daegu when she ran an unbelievable time to capture the world title.
They go first time, good start from Pearson. Porter up there challenging for second place, and out in lane seven, Kelly Wells. But it's going to be Sally Pearson. She's going tremendously well. Porter still vying for medals, but weakening, and Pearson takes the gold. And the winning time, 12.28. She's gone faster again. That is one of the fastest runs of all time.
And it wasn't just Sally, as good as that memory was. Mitchell Watt was a revelation in 2011.
Absolutely. He's a super talent, probably the most talented long jumper I've seen. And maybe there's not much to choose between Fabrice and Mitchell in terms of their talent. And they're certainly both feared across the world. And Mitchell solidified last year with a great line of consistency through the Diamond League, with massive jumps in our domestic season and then continuing it on internationally. And maybe unfortunately, but realistically, he just fell short at the World Championship with a silver medal, which is an improvement. And I think that little hunger that's necessary now for the gold medal at the Olympic Games will be there for him. And I'm actually secretly a little bit pleased that he's going to be super hungry rather than going in as a world champion.
Yeah, that's a great point you make. Way back in the day, when I was involved in athletics, back in the 1920s, one of the things that the Australian athletes always said, it's so hard to peak in Australia and then peak in Europe. This guy, Mitchell Watt, is the banner man for you to show to the Australian athletes. Hang on. This guy was jumping 840 world lead early on in the year, and he continued on his form. He jumped 854 in the Stockholm Diamond League. He continued all the way through, and he won a world silver medal. Like, he shows you it can be done.
Absolutely, it can be done, and we continually do it. Australians, in terms of our planning, particularly our top coaches, are superstars at planning and double peaking our athletes. And people like Alex Parnoff and Gary Bourne, who coaches Mitchell Watt, they know their stuff, and they know how to get their athletes ready for our domestic qualification process, and then also again internationally to keep the performance going. And certainly we're educating our coaches to do that further, and people like Alex and Gary are leaders in that field of double periodization.
Compare the ballistic sports of the sprint hurdles and the long jump. Then we've got this amazing group of walkers as a unit that have consistently got results at Olympics, Commonwealths and World Championships.
Yeah, the walkers are, if you like, the stable performers of the team. I mean, we fill all the spots. That's the first thing. So every walker that is available to be picked is picked under the A qualification system. And that's nine, basically three women and six men across the 50 and the 20K. And if we're lucky enough, as we have been in the past, to have a world champion, we can even send 10 as the defending champion. So the walks ends up being close to one quarter of our team, and they all perform. And we certainly, for example, in the 50K, we're hopeful that we'll have three top eight contenders right across the board in Deeks, Talent and Adams. And of course, we've got some young girls coming through in Regan Lamble. We actually had a new A qualifier last week in the 50K in a young lady called Becky Lee, who probably isn't that familiar with everyone, but she's made an A qualifier, and now she'll go to Hobart to try and cement her spot in the team for London.
We're going to look forward to 27 days when the Australian Athletics Tour kicks off, and it kicks off on January 28 in Adelaide. But let's look back on the domestic season of the previous year in 2011. We've spoken about a lot of the young talent coming through. it's a great achievement. She's had her knockers in the world who keep want to bring her down because she can be opinionated. But for Tamsin Lewis, Tamsin Manu, to win a 17th national title, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. That kind of longevity is incredible. It's a testament to her dedication, how she trains. She must be always looking after herself. Age is always a factor for athletes, and she's obviously defying that process, and she'll be a major contender in terms of the domestic season in getting her A qualifiers possibly in two events, in the 800 and the 400 metre flat, and then hopefully we can get her workload increased even a bit more around the 4x4 relay team, which is now starting to show some signs of picking up after a little bit of injury problems over the last couple of years.
We talk about one household name, Yana Pittman's another household name, and gone back to her original coach. We saw her in the domestic season win in Perth. She's changed a lot of things around in her life, and I'm sensing a bit of hunger there, which is great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yana is certainly training hard, working hard, trying to get back to where she knows she belongs, and that process is going really well. We will know a little bit more once we do the 4x4 meet in Brisbane on the 15th of January, where Yana will don the international jersey again to try and qualify the team for the 4x4 in the London Olympics. And we look forward to seeing her out in the early season.
We've got a lot of young talent coming through. Combine that with a bit of experience and, of course, highlighted by a world champion. It's been an outstanding year of athletics for everyone here in Australia and also around the world. We're going to be joined after the break by Scotty Gullen, who will look at his highlights and lowlights from a big year of 2011. And then we'll get the crystal ball out and ask Eric to make some predictions as we build towards the London Olympics in 2012. As we go to a break, Stockholm Diamond League. We saw an oceanic record by Mitchell Watt, a man who had just been fantastic all year, and he jumps 8.54.
Well, Mitchell Watt then in the long jump, just keeping up to date with that. It's his second round jump, 8.34 in the first round. Oh, that's a lovely jump. That looks a big jump too. That looks even better. I tell you what, Mitchell Watt of the United States, of Australia rather, a best of 8.44. He's spot on the board, and that looked to be well over 8 metres. It really did.
The Flame on 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. On 11.16 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome back to The Flame Show, January 1, 2012. We're looking back on a big year in athletics in 2011 and looking forward and getting some predictions for Australian athletes and world athletes in the London Olympic Games in 2012. I'm in the studio with Eric Hollingsworth, High Performance Manager from Athletics Australia. And now on the line, a man who's been covering the great sport of track and field here in Australia for over a decade is Scott Gullen from the Herald Sun. Scotty, Happy New Year to you, and great to be talking track and field on the radio here on 11.16 SEN.
Yes, thank you, Richo, Eric. Yes, no, we've
got
into the big year, Olympic year. Very, very excited.
It is exciting, isn't it? Let's look back on 2011, though. You were at Daegu, the World Championships. Probably most of your highlights of 2011 will be around that World Championships. What is the first thing, when I say 2011, what's the first thing that jumps into your mind?
Well, I think it's Sally. I mean, we can't go past Sally. I know you guys have already discussed her and Mitch, but what Sally did at Daegu, to be there to see it, to see the reaction of the international media and the crowd and even the other athletes, I mean, what they saw there left them gobsmacked, and just her whole story, which you guys have talked about. She was clearly number one. Mitch, obviously breaking the long jump Australian record, Jai's long-time record, and finishing second in the World Champs when he probably didn't have his greatest night, that was pretty eye-opening as well. So they're the big two. And then probably number three, when I think of 11, was Usain's false start.
It was an amazing night of track and field that night. And we had Matt Shervington on our Christmas show. And it was interesting. Jeff Risley, who was my co-host, raised the point that he thought that Blake was putting that much pressure on Usain. And Usain had a little, maybe a chink in his armour. He maybe wasn't quite right. And that forced him to really try to beat the gun.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they trained together, and he knew Blake's big strength with his start. And as we know, Usain's pretty casual out of the blocks and then really starts going. So no doubt he came into that championships not at his optimum. He knew there was a new threat. He knew the Blake quite well. So no doubt there was nerves. And what I thought it just showed was the guy's human. Like, till then, I didn't think he was human. I mean, the times he was running, the way he was handling it all. And it was a surreal moment.
It was an extraordinary moment. Let's relive that moment right here on 11:16 SEN. When Usain Bolt was trying to go back-to-back in the 100 metres at a world championship level, and he had this young compatriot who was putting pressure on Johan Blake, and it was a moment we'll never forget.
Oh, my word, it's a false start. I think Usain Bolt false started. No. I can't believe it. I think Usain Bolt, almost unthinkably, I was talking about the fact that he got his start absolutely right. Has he false started? The reaction of Bolt suggests that that most emphatically is the case.
It certainly was a moment we'll never forget. And, well, he went on to run magnificently, though, in the 200 metres. Eric, you grew up in an era, a golden era of sprinters. You've seen the best. You've seen them come and go. You've seen up close Linford Christie. You've seen Carl Lewis, Donovan Bailey, Maurice Greene. The list goes on of outstanding ones. Purely on times, Usain's the man, but we can't just judge it on times because shoes are different and tracks are different, etc. Where does he sit for you? Is he the most talented you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's unquestionably the most talented I've ever seen, but I'm still yet reserving whether he's the greatest we've ever seen. And, you know, I don't think that a Maurice Greene would have full started in a world championship.
And it comes down to titles for you when you're assessing the game?
Absolutely, because that's the sport of athletics is about doing it at a given time once a year at the most important competition. And despite, I mean, I wouldn't have given Usain Bolt the athlete of the year. At the end of the day, if you full start in a world championship and you don't defend your title, I don't think you deserve to be the athlete of the year. That's giving someone success off a failure, and I don't agree with it. So from my point of view, he's still got work to do to say he's the greatest of all time. I think he's the fastest of all time, no question. But there have been lots of people who have held the world record who we wouldn't consider. People like Tim Montgomery.
That's right, Leroy Burrell.
Calvin Smith.
That's right,
These are people who have held the world record, but we wouldn't consider them the greatest of all time. So for me, he'd sit probably currently maybe 3 or 4. That might be a little bit controversial, but I would see Carl Lewis is still ahead of him. I would see Maurice Greene still ahead of him. And there would be some debate around a number of other athletes. And maybe just holding third now. And he's still got time to go and deliver at more World Championships and more Olympic Games. So for me, he's still got to win the titles. Johan Blake is obviously going to be a challenge next year. But there's still lots of work for Usain to do. The key thing that the other guys did, they were able to do it year in, year out, over 6, 7, 8, 9 years and keep coming back with the major titles. And we've already seen that Usain wasn't able to go back-to-back on his first attempt to win it.
But it's comparing apples and oranges. I didn't mention Michael Johnson there, but watching Michael Johnson's reaction to the times that Bolt's running, man, I was there when Johnson ran 19.32. I cannot believe anyone could run faster than that amazing night in Atlanta. So he's got the times there. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not he steps up to 400 metres. I hear that he could be running the 4x4 for Jamaica at the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the things that we talk about in times, I think we've also got to factor in that there's a natural progression in sport where people get better. So I think when you start to get people doing performances like Usain have done, it's part of the evolution of all athletes and all sports people. We didn't think back not long ago, we didn't think that Borg 11 championships could be beaten that easily. Yeah, and now we've got Federer and Nadal doing it. So I think that it's natural for us to all get better in our sport with all the coaches and the technology and everything that we do. But the thing that maintains and stays the same across generations is how you rack up gold medals at World Championships and Olympic Games.
It's about titles and it's about, defending the title. Scott, just wrapping up the topic of Usain Bolt.
Number three
of all time.
There you go, Scotty. How'd you like that one?
Oh, you're not. Well, Carl, I didn't see. I'm a little bit younger to...
turn it up,
Scotty.
But what this guy's done, number three. He's a good number three if he's going to sit there.
Well, he's solid number three.
He's a solid number three, but...
I've got him a three, I agree. I mean, if I look at 100... If I look at 200-metre runners, 100... Or if I can my group sprinters as 1-2, I've got to have Michael Johnson. I think he's in there with Carl. Carl's the greatest technically we've ever seen. But you saying you're right. It's not about time, Scott. It's about titles.
Well, if he does what he should do this year in London and win them again, where does he go then, Eric?
Then he obviously goes straight up quite high up the list because he's straight in there as a double Olympic champion, and double Olympic champions at 100 metres are rare also. So, but he's still got to do that. He's still got to do it. And I'll tell you what, I'll throw you in a spanner in the works there. Tyson will come back and he's got the capability to beat him.
I thought you were going
to
throw Asafa at me.
Oh, I don't like his competitive spirit.
I like him. You know, I love Asafa around June, but I don't like him when it gets close to August sort of time. I don't even know when the Olympics are, but just whenever it gets close, I don't want to be on Asafa from a betting proposition. January the 1st, 2012, you have a few quiet ones last night, Scotty, but you get ready for this is the year. And the Olympics are always massive. You add in London hosting the Olympics. I mean, this is going to be a big year for all the athletes, all the sports, and for people like you who cover it. It's not going to be hard to get out of bed in the morning.
No, that's irritating. I mean, we love the sport anyway, but there are years, Commonwealth Games years, it's harder to get my editors excited. You know, you've got to generate Olympic year, lids off, no problem. You serve anything up on anybody and they're interested, which is great for athletics because we have to seize our moment in the sun. We're not like the other codes where we can just roll out all the time. We've got openings, but Olympic year is massive. So I'm looking forward to, you know, and we've got Yana's back, you know, Nathan Deek's back, Josh Ross back, like all these old names who have still got a bit of talent. They're all poking their head up because London's here.
Well, that's fantastic, mate. Thanks for your time today. Look forward to a big 2012 from you and from the Herald Sun. So enjoy and let's hope you're covering some great success.
Thanks, Scotty.
Sure, we will. Thanks, guys.
There's Scotty Gallen from the Herald Sun. And don't forget to grab your pen out and write these dates in Brisbane. There's a great meet on January 14. Adelaide kicks off the tour January 28. Perth, Feb 11. Sydney, Feb 18. March 2 to 3 will be the Melbourne Track Classic, which is also always a great night in the IAAF Melbourne Track Classic, but also the Olympic nomination trial. So that is going to be awesome. I've got to give you a flaming question. And Eric spoke about it earlier on, so hopefully you're listening to the show. The World Youth Championships in 2011 in Lille. Liz Parnoff got a medal in the pole vault. What colour was her medal? And, of course, you can jump on Athletics Australia website. You can follow us on Facebook. Check out our Twitter page as well. And you can download on the podcast of this program on iTunes. So make sure you do that and get an answer in, and we'll give you a flaming, an Australian Flame T-shirt will be the first prize here. What colour medal did Liz Parnoff get in the World Youth Championship? She'll be one of the stars that we are concentrating on in 2012. Eric, you've got the big job of steering the ship, mate. Good luck for it. Can't wait for what's going to be a big year.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
There is Eric Hollingsworth. He's been my co-host in the studio. You have been listening to The Flame right here on 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport. That's Melbourne's home of track and field.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.